that rabble-rouser. There Jesus goes again. Today's reading, Jesus is talking about the powers of the heavens being shaken. So, who are the powers of the heavens? You know? In Jesus' time, he was talking about someone specific or some group specific. It was Rome. For Jesus' followers and for just about everyone who wasn't in a position of power, Rome represented everything that was wrong in the whole world. Shaking up the powers of the heavens pointed to a change in the way things worked. To Rome, it was a threat, but it offered hope to those who lived under the rule of tyrants. So Jesus' words were refreshing for the many. Jesus' words were revolutionary, too. Claiming that the powers of this world will be shaken up and that the One would come with power and glory, it may today bring us a vision of like earthquakes and solar flares and all kinds of Mayan calendar apocalyptic destruction. And all that destruction, the mighty Jesus would come to save the day. That's maybe the vision we get. But back then, for the powerful and for the powerless, it brought visions of the emperor and kings and governors being thrown from their places of power while a new emperor came to take over. Jesus was a revolutionary. He was a rabble-rouser. And I sure hope there's more to this story because it can't just end it there. And thankfully, there is. Jesus goes on. He talks about this generation not passing away until all things have taken place. Way back when, before any of us were born, early followers of Jesus expected that he was going to return very soon, as in during their lifetime. That was the expectation. He left, he's coming back, maybe tomorrow, maybe in a year or so, but not very far out. And it didn't happen. People got it wrong. A generation passed, and no return of Jesus. So then you start thinking, does this generation mean something different than 40-some years? Some have said that this generation refers to humanity's generation. And I think that's a cop-out. I think that they thought it was going to happen within the next 40 years. They were wrong, so they reevaluated what they were thinking. And I don't know for sure what Jesus means when he says this generation, but I think it's obvious that it means something different than the people originally thought, because God's really good at doing that, at having us think something for a while and then saying, oh, no, that's not what I meant, something different. Over the years, people have predicted dates for some kind of apocalyptic event, the end of the world or Christ's return. There have been hundreds of predictions covering dates like 500. Oh, remember in 500, anyone? No. 1,000, 1420, 1666, 1809, 1910, 1949, 1967, and at least 30 predictions predicting some date between 1980 and December 21st, 2012. Dun, dun, dun. Well, we know for sure that nothing of that sort can take place until Hollywood produces a film series about vampires targeted almost exclusively at women, and it brings upwards of $3.8 billion in box office receipts worldwide. Well, oops. What are all of the here's when it's going to happen, predictors thinking? Nobody knows how. Nobody knows when the story ends. We don't get insider information so that we can stock up on fuel and food and water before all hell breaks loose. Rabble-rouser. Jesus had some instructions for the disciples about preparing. It starts with the short parable of the fig tree. He took the attention off of the scary things and put it on more ordinary things. The fig tree sprouts leaves at regular intervals. The seasons come and go. And while they were in that mindset, he gave them the instructions. What were those instructions? Wait. Be patient. Pray. The season will come soon enough. Just keep alert and don't get all wrapped up in the worries of life. Those were Jesus' instructions. There's no call to panic as if catastrophe was imminent. There's no call to rise up and fight. There's no call to stock up on fuel and food and water and to build bomb shelters. There is no call to any violence at all. Oh, but we are really good at getting angry and pointing our guns and tanks and bombs at each other. And we all need to stop. Instead of looking at violent times as something God is orchestrating or something that is holy and necessary, what if we saw violence simply as violence? Everything that we attach to violence, divine retribution, holy cleansing, stopping terror, isn't good. It's just violence. Jesus' instructions, put down your weapons. Stop expecting the worst. Live focused on me and the hope that I bring. That's Jesus, the rabble rouser. And it is with Jesus, that rabble rouser, with him in mind, that we enter into Advent today. We're preparing for the celebration of Jesus' birth. We're going to worry that our decorations aren't perfect, that we can't buy enough or get perfect presents. We're going to be swamped, and we're going to wonder how so much activity can be packed into such a short time. We're going to wonder if we're going to be able to survive this month. And Jesus has instructions for us. Wait. Be patient. Pray. The season will come soon enough. Don't get all wrapped up in the worries of life and keep alert. Amen.